Good morning. This is December 26th. It's Sunday, Christmas Sunday. It's the Sunday where in Advent we light the Christ candle. And our scripture passage comes from Luke 2, verses 25 through 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul." Very powerful passage about this man named Simeon. If you back up just a few verses, if you go back to verse 21, we're told that after 8 days after Jesus was born, that he was circumcised and his name was called Jesus. That was the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. See, the law required that a boy, baby boy, would be circumcised on the 8th day. It didn't even matter if the 8th day fell on the Sabbath. That was the day that the boy was to be circumcised, and that was also the day that they would do a naming ceremony, and so they named him Jesus. Jesus means the Lord saves. Jesus is showing in the Greek what the Hebrew says when it uses the word Joshua, which is Yahweh saves. So Jesus, the Lord saves. And then Christ represents the Messiah. I am so grateful that we know up front, right at the beginning, that Jesus is the one who saves. I like what I heard a while back. I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. In this life, none of us arrive to any kind of perfection. Salvation in the Greek means wholeness. It means wholeness that we have in God, and we're in the process of experiencing that wholeness. It says there will be a time that we'll see him face to face and we shall be like him. But none of us are 100% like God right now. I think that this is a time where we need to be patient with each other as we go through that process. And then we have 40 days pass, and Mary goes through the purification rituals that a woman who's had a baby is to go through. And then we have this story about them bringing Jesus to the temple. Every firstborn male, according to verse 22, was to be designated as holy to the Lord. They're to be offered to the Lord, and the sacrifice is given on their behalf according to what is stated in the law. And it's supposed to be a lamb. But if they were poor, really poor, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons was acceptable. Well, that is what actually Mary and Joseph had. They brought to the temple a pair of two turtle doves, which tells us they were very poor at that time. And they did actually have a lamb. It was Jesus. John called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So starting with the verse that I read, 25, we have the introduction of a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Simeon, according to tradition, was 113 years old. I once heard about a woman in France, and it's a true story, you can Google it, who lived to be 120. And when she was much younger than that, I think in her 90s, a lawyer thought he would get a good deal, and he said, I'll tell you what, if you let me buy your house for this really good price, I'll let you live in this house the rest of your life. So she accepted the deal. And of course, she outlived him. And the joke was on the lawyer, I guess. So it is possible to live 113 years. We have sometimes people in our world that live that long and even longer. It's unusual, but it happens. And the name Simeon is something we should take note of. It means hearing and obeying. And we're told that he was a righteous and devout man. At age 113, he was doing pretty good. Many believe he was also a priest because of his ability to just go in the temple like he did. But the Lord had told him, the Holy Spirit had told him, according to our passage, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. I think it's funny that sometimes people give up on their faith because they don't have a lot of patience with God. You know, you feel like God's going to bless you, but it never happens. You never get blessed the way that you need to be blessed. And God must know that you need to be blessed that way. And why isn't God blessing you that way? And eventually you just take matters into your own hands. You ever done that? I've done that. I've been impatient before. But I always realize when I'm impatient and I do things my way, there's consequences that I don't like. And we're told in verse 27 that Simeon was guided by the Spirit. And he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. And then if you read verses 29 through 32, you have this very articulate prophetic word that flows out of him. There's something about embracing who God is through Jesus and God's love and God's mercy and the nature of God that's revealed to us through Jesus that gives us words. I mean, Jesus even told his disciples, don't worry about what you will say when you are brought before this group or that group. My paraphrase. Because the Holy Spirit will give you the words when you need them. It's hard to have faith about that, but it's actually been my experience that that's more true than we think. It's actually totally true, because often we speak from our heart instead of some contrived way. I'm not saying there's not a time to prepare. I'm not saying that at all. The Bible says, you know, study, show yourself a workman that needeth not be ashamed. But I am saying that there's a loosing of the tongue that happens sometimes when we embrace the Lord. I've kind of experienced what I'm trying to tell you when I prepare a sermon. Sometimes I have a feeling that I know what I want to say, but it's just not there. And what really brings it home to me is letting the Lord move me. You know, Jesus, before he healed people, says that he would be moved with compassion. There's something about the Lord moving me with some passion and compassion for his word that gives me a word. And I have just a couple more things that I want to say that I think are important about this encounter with Simeon that I think are for us in this coming year. First of all, I want to point out that Simeon was a man who was faithful. We're told he was righteous and he was devout. Devout does not mean he was religious. It meant he was faithful to the Lord and to what he felt and knew and understood was pleasing to the Lord. And I've known people and even times myself where we quit trying to please the Lord and we become pleasers of ourselves. And when we do that, we become what the Bible calls a carnal Christian. We become selfish and self-oriented. And the Lord is no longer the Lord. We still claim him to be our Savior. We still, when we're desperate, will go to him as our high priest and say prayers and say, you know, Lord, help me, you know, and expect Jesus to intercede on our behalf. That's what we're told Jesus does for us. But we've given up somehow on being devout. I want to call us back to that place of visioning with God his best for you in the coming year. And that involves obeying, and only you know if you're obeying. But God will give you nudges. And it will be an exciting journey. So I'll tell you a story. I went to an all-day conference one time. Heard this man speak who I really love his words and his insights in Scripture. But I needed a little bit of encouragement that day. I didn't think anybody could tell. And it was in a school. And at the end of the day, I'm walking out of the school, and the lady in front of me, she gets snagged on the door. Her coat got caught somehow on the door, and she comes flying back, almost hit me. And she turns around, and she looks at me, and she says, "Well, I guess I'm supposed to say it." She said, "I felt like the Lord had a word for you that I wanted to share, but I didn't have the courage. So I just decided it wasn't the Lord." So she told me the word, and it was a very encouraging word. And that, coupled with the fact that she came flying back at me, made it even seem more true than ever. But it was a blessing to me, and it was a blessing to her. Because she had heard from the Lord, but she hadn't obeyed. See, I'm just trying to say, these things come in small packages. You know, Jesus, he was dynamite in a small package. When Simeon picked him up and held him in his arms, he was holding the word of God next to his heart. There's just so much here. Jesus was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. Before he even came, he was heading towards the cross to die on that cross, to be our Redeemer. And he laid down his life for us. Every time we celebrate communion, we're celebrating his body broken for us and his blood shed for us. And Simeon was holding the very body and blood in that little baby that would be our salvation and his salvation, the Lamb of God. The Bible says, and even starting with Mary, when the angel spoke to Mary, that with God, all things are possible. I believe that it's easy for us to quit being devout in our relationships with God because, again, we become impatient. We start to think God loves everybody else, but he doesn't notice me. In this coming year, God wants to do a new thing in each of our lives. God wants to set us free in so many ways to help us walk with him as Lord, that we would step out in obedience to what he tells us. Now, it's not your business to judge me based on what you think the Lord is telling me. And it's not my business to judge you based on what I think the Lord is telling you. No, the Lord wants us each to learn the Lord's voice. Not for us to ask other people what the Lord is telling them about us. No, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." That means you can learn the Lord's voice. You learn it by studying his word, listening to his word through the scriptures, especially looking at the nature of God, the nature of Jesus. And oftentimes you will hear God in a sense of confirmation that you're walking in a path that is consistent with what you know to be the nature of God. Jesus would give a cup of cold water to somebody who needed it. Jesus would reach out in compassion to somebody who nobody else was reaching out to in compassion. You know that he would. You know all the ways through studying the nature of the Lord. And so he will speak to you. You will hear. And the Lord will give you courage to obey. But isn't it nice to know that when we do screw up and mess up and don't do things exactly the way we're supposed to, that we can seek forgiveness at any moment and then just get back on the path? I think sometimes we don't realize how forgiving God is. He's a lot more forgiving than we are sometimes of our very selves. Some of us have been living in unforgiveness of ourselves for years. It's time to forgive yourself. Not that you really have that much power to forgive yourself. You don't really need to forgive yourself. You just need to embrace the knowledge that you are forgiven, that the Lord forgives you. You can let go and let God. You can embrace this very day, starting now, as a new day, a new adventure. Jesus said in John 10, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." God wants you to rise up in this coming year. I like that song. It says, "Rise up, O men of God." I want to add before I go further, "Rise up, O men and women of God," or "Rise up, O women and men of God." It's speaking to both genders. Rise up, men and women. Rise up, men and women of God. Have done with lesser things. Meaning, don't focus on those lesser things, but give your heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Wow. Imagine if we gave God that kind of commitment in this coming year. If we got back on that horse that we fell off, who knows how long ago. Maybe it's just in one area of your life or more. It doesn't matter. You're still off the horse. The Lord says, please get back on that horse because I've got great things in mind for you, and they involve loving others and helping others. And I need you, is what the Lord is saying. I need you to bless and help others. Are you going to try to do that and find that you failed, find that people are not going to receive what you have or not be grateful for what you give? Yes. But you're not giving to make people happy or anyone happy. You're giving to make the Lord happy. There's going to be times where people will take what you have and they'll use it and they'll benefit from it, but they will not express gratitude to you for it. That happened to Jesus. Remember the 10 lepers, and only one came back to say thank you? Jesus would have healed them all the same anyway, because he was loving people with the love of God. And I'll tell you what, some of those people will at some point turn around and have gratitude. But love is patient. And it may or may not happen in your lifetime. But God is calling you to a new destiny. I wish I had time to look up several scriptures that talk about how the Lord declares he's doing a new thing. He's going to do a new thing, and he is doing a new thing. And this coming year, I am declaring that God is going to do a new thing in your life. I want to end with the words from this song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. God has great plans for you in this coming year, starting now, before the year even starts. Accept God's new thing. Embrace God's grace. And let him flow through you, through your extended arms, through your words, to a hurting world. God bless you.